The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today, folks. Happy Monday to you. Hope all you beautiful mothers out there had a great Mother's Day. I can tell you, the restaurants around Memphis and around our neck of the woods were filled to overflowing and nary a face mask in sight. So it looks like Mother's Day back to normal across America. Or if in fact, you celebrate Birthing Person Day, well, there you go. Well, we've got that. By the way, what is going on here with this birthing thing? This is the latest craze, apparently, sweeping across America, because the radical sex and gender revolutionaries would have you believe there's really no such thing as mothers anymore. So, in other words, the idea that a woman can give birth exclusively to a baby is now apparently offensive, or it's triggering for the LGBTQIA plus community. And we have a story up on our website, toddstarnes.com. Congresswoman Cori Bush, she is a lunatic, this one. She represents you folks there in St. Louis. And last week, she was very upset going off about something called birthing mothers. Now, NARAL, which is a radical, I mean radical, pro-abortion group, also came out, and they're saying that women exclusively cannot give birth. It's not just straight women who can get pregnant and give birth. So according to NARAL, they have decided to ignore the science here, and they are now officially on the record as saying that birthing people is all about, calling it birthing people is all about being inclusive. They say we use gender-neutral language when talking about pregnancy because it's not just cisgender women that can get pregnant and give birth. Reproductive freedom is for everybody. So in NARAL's mind, Our good and decent friend and colleague here on the Todd Starnes radio program, Avery, could give birth to a child, according to NARAL. They believe that men can give birth to babies now. It's unbelievable. I would love to see the science on this, but there is no science on this. But the leftists are all now about erasing mom, and I caught holy you-know-what back in 2019 when my book Culture Jihad came out, and I warned people there was coming a time when the radicals, the sex and gender revolutionaries, would literally destroy the American family. They want to erase words like mom and dad from the vernacular. As a matter of fact, now if you call somebody a little boy or a little girl, that is an offensive term. You could be publicly shamed for using those kinds of terms. No, I'm not making this up. This is where we are in America right now. As a matter of fact, even at Fox News Channel, I can't tell you how many times people just completely dismissed this idea of gender-neutral pronouns back in 2019. Now everybody's embraced it. But back in 2019, no one thought that this would be a thing. Now, I'm old school. Back when I was growing up, God was, you know what God was doing? On the Pearly Gates assembly line, you had two products. You had little boys and you had little girls. And then along comes Facebook, and you've got, what, 75 different varieties now and counting. But God is only responsible for two of them. And I hate to break this to you folks, and Grace Baker, you can correct me on my theology here, but I know a lot of people are chopping off this and adding that and doing all sorts of things to their bodies. But when that day comes, when they have to stand before the pearly gates with St. Peter, and I know St. Peter's not, I get it, but just go with it here, folks. I don't want to hear from the theologians. But Grace, you're standing up there, and St. Peter's trying to get you checked into the pearly gates, and he's looking at you, and he goes, well, wait a second, where are the original parts? No, you cannot come here unless you have the original parts.
Oh,
some people are going to be out of luck.
Oof. That's a tough spot, Todd.
It's a tough spot to be in. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, Cori Bush was speaking up on Capitol Hill last week, and she said, every day, black birthing people and our babies die because our doctors don't believe our pain. What the hell is that woman talking about? So, look, I don't know nothing about birth and no babies, but I do know this. If you are in the hospital and you're giving birth, this woman, who is an elected member of Congress, literally is saying that doctors are turning a blind eye and they're letting black babies die in the hospital. Where are the facts to back this up? And nobody called her out on it. Nobody called her out on this absurd notion. So now it's not only police officers that are just going out there and intentionally killing black people. Now you've got doctors. Oh, Grace. And you know, she may have a point. She may have a point.
What do you mean?
I want you to think about this. There could be something nefarious going on down at General Hospital.
Okay.
The doctors, when they show up in the hospitals, what are they wearing? What are they wearing when they're in the hospital? They're wearing white coats. White coats, Grace Baker. They're racist. They're Klansmen. The doctors are secret, incognito Klansmen wearing the white coats.
What about the nurses? They wear all kinds of different colored uniforms.
They're lady Klansmen. They're Klansettes.
Oh.
Or whatever.
Even when they've
got
like a bunch of hearts
all over
them.
They're Klan auxiliary.
Oh.
Everybody's out to kill the black babies in the hospital. That's what Cori Bush just said. Every day, black birthing people and our babies die because our doctors don't believe our pain. That's what she said. We had the audio. You can see it for yourself at toddstearns.com. So I just want to say something about all of this nonsense. If you wished your mother a happy birthing person day yesterday, you should count your blessings that she did not knock you upside the head with a cast iron skillet, because she would have had every right to. Let me explain something here. And I know this might trigger some folks out there, and I understand that. But only women, biological women, are able to give birth. Can I say that again? Only women, biological women, are allowed to give birth. And if you're not a biological woman and you got something coming out your backside, you better get over to the doctor's office and get that checked out. That's all I'm saying. 844-747-8868. And that's not even the top story I wanted to talk about. I was so aggravated over all of this stuff over the weekend, not to mention ABC News, that was shaming all of you people for going out there and visiting your mothers. You see, the people over at ABC News think that you should have stayed home. You should have just called your mother. These people deserve a cast iron skillet to the backside as well. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, so a lot of you folks are wondering, Starnes, why do you have a problem with Canada? What's going on north of the border? What's happening up there? Well, look, you need to understand something. The Canadians hate Jesus, and they've got a big problem with religious liberty north of the border. And honestly, we need to have strict border security at the northern border as well as the southern border. So a couple of stories we've been following. One of them involves a Polish pastor named Artur Pawlowski. And Pastor Pawlowski, and we've played a lot of audio from him over the past couple of months, they have been ordering the churches up there to shut down. And it's not just that they're ordering the churches to shut down. They are actually sending in SWAT teams to the church houses. They are surrounding the church houses with barbed wire fence. They're hauling off preachers to jail, and they're threatening Christians. If you go to church, you could go to jail in Canada. So over the weekend, Pastor Pawlowski, who has developed a reputation of sorts for standing up to these Nazi Gestapo thugs. And you hate to call somebody a Nazi, but that's what these people are, eh? They're Nazis. So over the weekend, Pastor Pawlowski again defied orders and held a church service. It should be noted that people are not getting the China virus in droves. It's not it's not a bad situation up there. So he gives the sermon, and he's the guy, if you remember, they've been showing up to the church house, and they're knocking on the door, and he won't let them in, and he literally shouts them off of the property. I've never seen anything like it, but he's very effective at dealing with bullies. So anyway, over the weekend, after he left the church house and was heading home, that he was on some highway, we have the video of this incident over at ToddStearns.com. All of a sudden, his car is surrounded by a SWAT team. And it's almost they're treating this guy like he's Osama bin Laden. And they make the preacher get on his knees in the middle of the highway. You have to watch this video. It is jaw-dropping. So they've got the poor preacher on his knees. I thought for a moment they were just going to take the guy out right there in the middle of the highway, just shoot him in the head. I mean, it was an intense situation. So now the pastor's in jail, and I've received a text message before the show, and we're hopefully going to have some sort of an interview with this guy once he gets out of jail. So we're hoping to have the pastor on the program. So they arrest the pastor. He's being charged. Now, get this. He's being charged with holding a church service in defiance of the law. That is the actual charge. He's being held because he conducted a church service in defiance of the law. And he is not the first pastor that has been arrested. So here's what I'm recommending. Got to tell you, I love Canadian bacon, but I'm not buying any more Canadian bacon. I love the ginger ale, the Canada Dry. No more ginger ale from across the border. I don't care what it is. Syrup, hockey. That's about all they got up there, right? Okay. Syrup, hockey, and ginger ale, and Rocky and Bullwinkle. I don't care what it is. I mean, I got to be honest with you. The Canadians have not contributed much to society. It is what it is. And no offense to you Canadians out there, but you know, you guys need to step up your game a little bit. But the least you can do is defend your civil liberties. The least you can do is stand up to these Gestapo Nazi jackbooted thugs who are going around knocking on church houses and hauling the preachers out and throwing them in jail. And if you can't do that, then your country is suckier than we thought it was. 844-747-8868. No, I'm calling for a boycott of Canada. If you're planning on going on vacation, I would not go to Canada. Go somewhere else, somewhere where they appreciate religious liberty. No, not California. That's almost as bad. But at least they're tanned in California. It's cold up there north of the border. So this is the situation, and this is why I'm calling for a boycott of Canada. There's really no reason for you to go up there. We've got lovely trees. We have ice here. We have snow here in America. No need for you to go north of the border. But honest to goodness, if I was president of the United States, I'd lock down the border. I wouldn't let any of those people into our country. A bunch of godless heathens up there. I mean, throwing preachers into jail. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Meanwhile, I got a letter. I got to share this letter. You know, we've got a busy show. Our good friend Tony Perkins is going to be here a little bit later on, and we've got some important information to talk to him about. But I want to read a letter to you I received from one of our great listeners in Little Rock, Arkansas. Now, many of you know that Dan Bongino, they're going to be forcing the radio station to carry Dan Bongino, 3 hours of screaming, and that's fine. One of the listeners at Cumulus, at KARN, a guy by the name of Dave Woodman, wrote a letter. Grace, we don't get many handwritten letters around here, but this is one of those handwritten letters.
Well, that's extra special then.
Mm-hmm. Dear sir, a number of months ago, back in 2019, the Cumulus media outlet in Central Arkansas, KARN, terminated a longstanding relationship with the late Rush Limbaugh, stating on the air that the cancellation was for financial reasons. Little Rock's leading conservative talk station just could not afford to carry the most successful radio personality in the history of the media. I immediately moved to The Answer, which is another radio station in town, with Rush until I discovered a new conservative voice on KARN. What was that voice, Grace Baker? Todd Starnes.
I was going to say that was my first guess.
Mr. Starnes actually lured me back to KARN and away from the great El Rushbo with his fresh approach to the issues of the day. Judging from the volume of calls Mr. Starnes has been receiving from Central Arkansans, is it Arkansans? It is Arkansas. I am by no means alone as a fan of his daily show. So what do I hear from Todd today? He has been canceled on KARN. He was quick to mention the decision came from corporate and was professional enough not to mention Cumulus by name. Never before have I written a protest letter in support of a media personality, offering proof that I am serious in my support of Todd Starnes. He goes, I go. He goes, I go. Furthermore, I believe this decision will cast a greater negative feedback on KARN's reputation than the decision to cancel Rush. As a former television broadcaster, I know the value of a strong lead-in. And I'm not going to read the rest of this, but all I can say, Dave, is that you've got a great radio station there in Little Rock, and we're going to miss you guys. But you can always listen to us on the interwebs. Dave Woodman, thank you, sir, for the very kind letter you wrote, and I suspect his sentiments are shared by many in Little Rock, Arkansas. All right, I got a question for you before we go to break, and this is especially for you folks listening to us in Salem, Oregon. What's wrong with Portland? Over the weekend, we were given some video of a Marine veteran who was caught up in one of these big protests and was beaten to a pulp. The guy's in the hospital right now. Police did nothing. They did nothing to help this guy. What's going on in Portland? What's going on in Austin, Texas, where the same thing happened, by the way? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And yes, I'm aware that gas prices are going out the wazoo. We're going to get to that in just a little while. Isn't it interesting, though? They say it's absolutely impossible, beyond a shadow of a doubt, impossible for a voting machine to be hacked. and yet the Russians can come in and they can shut down one of our most important pipelines. So you can hack a pipeline, but you can't. But it's impossible, I say, to finagle around with, I don't know, say a voting machine. Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, 844-747-8868. I want to go to the phones here. Now, before we bring in Larry, I want to go back to this letter that we received. And whenever I receive a letter, especially when I say it's handwritten, it was hand-typed. But someone went to the trouble of writing this out and not only sending me this letter, but also to the president of Cumulus. And I think it's interesting because the people that are trying to get radio stations to pick up Bongino's show, and I like Bongino, nice enough guy, but you know what they've been doing, Grace Baker? They've been actually targeting my radio stations.
What?
They have been, and a couple of radio station owners have called me, and they said, you're not going to believe this, but they're trying to get them to cancel. They want us to take your show off our radio station.
What in the world?
So they had they turned around and gave the Westwood One people a come to Jesus meeting.
Oh,
they're like, yeah, we don't play that game around here.
Well, good for them.
Good for them. Absolutely. So anyway, we try to play. We're always above board with everything we do on this radio program, and we love our affiliates. But there's some dirty shenanigans going on behind the scenes, and we don't like it. And we know who's doing it. And we believe in something called Baptist karma. And it involves the Bible and a cast iron skillet. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it there. But anyway, I want to go to Larry because as I was reading this letter, and the gentleman, Dave Woodman, who wrote this beautiful letter to us, mentioned that he was a broadcast personality. And Larry from Little Rock, who is listening to us on KARN, Larry, you've got some insight into this gentleman.
Yes, this man worked for KARK for 50 years. Which was the partner station of KARN, Channel 4. He is the most respected and what you would say emeritus media personality in the entire state of Little Rock. He's been a fixture of our homes for 50 years.
Is that right? Well, he wrote a very kind letter, and it's an, you know, we're just honored that he would come back to KARN, you know, because of what we're doing on the radio, and you know, we're not trying to be anything other than who we are, Larry. You know, we're not trying to emulate anybody else. We're just coming on the radio, having a conversation, and really trying to build a national radio program.
Well, this Dave Woodman is an excellent exemplary example of a gentleman, and he is he's as famous as Rush Limbaugh in Arkansas.
That says, you know what, that one thing you just said explains everything. And we appreciate Dave writing this, and we hope that the bosses at Cumulus headquarters hear and read his letter, as they should. But, Larry, I'll tell you this much. You know, a lot of people in the corporate industry, the broadcasting world, they don't open up the mail. They don't read these letters. They don't care. All they care about is the bottom line these days, and that's unfortunate.
Well, yeah, you're lucky to get a letter from him.
I'm going to frame this now. Grace, we're going to frame the letter.
You definitely should.
I'm going to put it right next to the – you know, we've got Trump sent me something, and we'll put it next to the thing we've got from Trump, Grace. All right, very good. Larry, thank you for that, and thank you for sharing about Dave. If he's listening, I'm sure that he is very thankful for your kind words there. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So look, got a couple of things about Black Lives Matter. These people are literally untouchable. Now, there was an incident that happened over the weekend in Texas. There was a Black Lives Matter protest at a busy intersection. And the BLM crowd, they were armed with weapons. They were terrorizing the motorist. And so finally, one of the guys has had enough. And he's just trying to get to wherever he's going. And he gets out there and he's saying, you know what? And he used a few choice words and he said, you guys need to get out of the road. This is not legal. And so Black Lives Matter comes after this guy and they're making all sorts of threats. Then the police steps in and this guy's a big old dude. I mean, a big old dude. And he's going toe-to-toe with the BLM crowd. I think he could have bench-pressed all of them. And so finally, this cop comes up. And what does the cop do? Instead of protecting the motorist, this big dude who is the victim of all of this, he turns on the motorist and tells him to get back into his car and be quiet. I mean, this is unbelievable. It really does make you wonder who's calling the shots here. So instead of the police arresting all of these Black Lives Matter protesters for blocking the intersection, which is against the law, they're going after the law-abiding motorist. And look, the same thing happened. We were talking to Lars Larson in Portland, Oregon about this yesterday, on Friday's show, where you have a very similar situation. You have the armed Antifa Black Lives Matter thugs. They're going out there and they're just causing mayhem. And they tell you, well, stay away from where BLM is. Well, they're everywhere. I mean, what are you supposed to do? You're heading down to the Piggly Wiggly to get some provisions, and all of a sudden you're surrounded by these people with AR-15s bouncing up and down on the hood of your car. What are you supposed to do? So there was a guy named Joe, a Marine veteran, and sure enough, he ended up in the middle of one of these spontaneous events, mob action. They start attacking his car. And so he gets out to confront these thugs, and they beat the holy living crap out of this guy, a Marine veteran. Broken collarbone, broken ribs, blood pouring out of the poor guy's head. We've got the video. You can see it for yourself. Where were the police? Where were the police? And as Lars said, what exactly are you able to do? Can you do to defend yourself against these people? These are domestic terrorists. That's who they are. Domestic terrorists. But nobody cares. Nobody cares. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Over the weekend in Memphis, Tennessee, you had a bunch of teenage thugs, little thuglings. They got into it with police officers and an ATF agent. One police officer shot, one ATF agent shot. They've arrested people, the attackers, 19 years old, 18 years old, and the 17-year-old is still on the run. You know what you did not see over the weekend, folks? Do you remember seeing that story on your national news? Do you recall the breaking news coverage from Memphis, Tennessee? Two law enforcement officers shot, gunned down, sent to the hospital. Thank God they're going to be okay. Here locally, we're run by these Black Lives Matter thugs, and the leading thugette, her name is Tammy Sawyer. She's a county commissioner, an elected leader, kind of like the Cori Bush ilk. You folks in St. Louis understand. Where was she leading the marches in support of the police? Where was the mayor of Memphis and the mayor of Shelby County, Tennessee? Where were those guys? Why were they not holding press conferences condemning the violence against police officers? Where were the protest rallies? Where were the marches? Where were the pastors? Where were the pastors? Oh, you've seen them. The race agitating pastors. They're out there whenever a thug gets gunned down committing a crime. But they are quiet. They are silent when law enforcement is attacked. And do you know why that is? Because they really do believe their mantra that only Black Lives Matter. That, honest to goodness, that is the only. And keep in mind, Black Lives Matter is mostly a white movement. But they believe in their heart of hearts that only Black Lives Matter. So if a police officer gets gunned down, in their mind, that's justification. They can find justification for a police officer getting shot, getting killed. Their lives don't matter. Your life, if you're an Asian American, yeah, your life doesn't matter to them. If you're Hispanic, yeah, I don't think your life matters to them. White folks, yeah, good luck with it. Good luck with that. Get to the back of the bus, pal. But it's a shame, but this is where we are. And it makes a lot of sense. You know, Lars was telling us there was a guy who got out and confronted the BLM crowd with a gun, and that guy got arrested. The victim got arrested. This is the state of chaos in America right now. What is wrong is right. What is right is wrong. Our values literally turned upside down. All right, we got to take a break here. We're going to open up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, by the way, is toddstearns.com, and the live show blog is up and running. Great information for you there.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Stearns.
Grace, did you have a good, happy Mother's Puppy Day thing yesterday?
What?
Like a Mother's Day. I mean, but you don't have like a child, so you're like a parent to a puppy.
I'm a dog mom.
A dog mom. Thank you. That's what I
Saturday was National Dog Mom Day.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
So you don't double dip, and you don't take anything away from mom.
No.
Okay.
Well, that's but I had a great Mother's Day yesterday.
Oh, well, that's
nice.
I had
to eat barbecue twice.
Wait, you ate barbecue twice?
From two different places.
Oh, that's right, because this is your first Mother's Day as a married person.
Yes.
So you have to do the mom.
Yes, and mother-in-law.
Birthing mom. And,
oh, my gosh. Oh, jeez.
But they both fed you barbecue.
Yes.
That's a
pretty good day.
That's a pretty darn good day in Memphis, Tennessee, I would say.
And my dog got worn out playing with the other dogs.
I bet Merlo did. All right. Well, good stuff. Folks, by the way, Michelle Obama, wow, she really does hate America. We have some great audio we're going to play in the next hour. You're gonna want to stick around to hear this. Unbelievable. Also, Mayor Bill de Blasio pulling the plug on the Memorial Day parade. But it's okay to march for marijuana rights, but not Memorial Day. We'll tell you about that in the next hour. Let's get to the phone. So 844-747-8868. Libby, Central Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Libby, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. I never thought my first call to you would be about this, but I've gone to church with Dave Woodman for 45 years, he and his wife and daughters, and he is, what everybody else has said about him, he's that man.
Is that right?
Just so you know. Yes.
Now what?
He did sports on the NBC affiliate for years.
Now what religious flavor are you, Libby? What denomination?
Oh, honey, I'm Southern Baptist.
Well, I knew it. I knew it. I could feel it. I could feel it, Libby.
You could feel it. Yes. Yes, it's going between us. I feel it. I know it. Oh. Everything you say, I'm just sitting here saying amen. I'm usually I raise cattle. I'm in the cattle business. I'm old, but usually I'm driving a tractor. But I'm saying amen to you. So now I'm just driving a truck.
Getting a little Baptist-costal on us, Libby. That's
yeah. Well, you know, I'm old and I'm by myself, so I can do what I want to do, pretty much.
I like it. I like that.
Just so you know, what I'm at the end of the road when they had the Black Lives Matter thing up in North Little Rock. One of them escaped and ended up down on my place, ran into a tree and escaped into the swamp. And I told the police, I said, he'll be back. The snakes and stuff will run him out.
Don't mess with the snakes.
So, yeah, don't mess with the snakes. Those cottonmouths are serious.
Oh, yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, they are. I learned that early on. Well, thank you, sweetheart. I got to get to getting. You have a blessed day.
All right. Well, you do as well, and you get to getting too, Libby. And give us a holler back. I like Libby. Wow. Those are good people there in Little Rock, Arkansas. And you know what we got to do, Grace? We're gonna get Dave's contact information.
Okay.
And we're gonna try to get Dave on the show.
Ooh.
But I want to send him. We're gonna just send him all of my books. We'll send him a nice care package.
There you go.
Just as a way of saying thank you.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like good people.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Southern Baptist. I mean, come on. Let's go real quick to Charlie in Sherwood, Arkansas. Hey, Charlie, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. I just called in to let you know I knew Dave Woodman as well, went to church with him, and I am a Baptist, but I've been tampered with, okay?
You've been tampered with?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Baptist-costal, as you mentioned.
Oh, Baptist-costal. So, look, I can't, Charlie, I can't speak in tongues, but I can jump a pew.
Well, that's all right, brother.
It's all
God
good.
God loves us all. Yes, it is. But yes. I just wanted to say, and I don't mean to discredit Larry in any way, but I'm sure, Todd, that the letter that you received was certainly heartfelt and God-inspired, okay?
It was a beautiful letter. Honestly, it was, and I received it as such. And, you know, again, we love our listeners. You know, Charlie, our show is it's caller-driven, and so we want people like you and Libby, who's raising cattle, and we've got, you know, Joe from LJ, Georgia, Connor from Boston. You know, everybody becomes a character on our show. And that's
right.
That's what it's all about. And so we just really appreciate the great friends that we've made over the past year at KARN.
Well, you know, Todd, I'd like just to add a little note to what you just said, brother. I've never met you personally, or, you know, Grace or Avery, either one. But I tell you what, I can feel your spirit.
Thank you.
If you know what I'm saying.
Well,
and, you know, I just appreciate you so much. I appreciate your show, and I appreciate everything that you're doing.
Charlie, you're a good man, and we're going to have to leave it there for the hour. So God bless you, sir, and God bless all of our great listeners. Hey, folks, got to take a break. Tony Perkins coming up a little bit later on. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome back. Hour two of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. I want to welcome all of our great listeners across America. And you folks in Atlanta, GA, we're going to have some exciting news for you coming up very soon. And as we continue to grow this radio show every single day, we're going to have to get a few more Cracker Barrel rocking chairs for the front porch, Grace. I'm just saying.
I will make a trip to the nearest Cracker Barrel. We're in the South, so there's a lot of them.
Yeah, get the brown, you know, I don't like the white, you know, they have the white rocking
yes.
chairs. I don't like the white rocking. You got to clean them up, you know, so.
Yeah, they get dirty pretty
they
easily.
They get dirty, yeah. So, thank you. I'm glad you're on that. Appreciate it. Hey, by the way, write down our telephone number. You will need this if you're going to call in this hour of the program, 844-747-8868, a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, our live show blog is up and running over at toddstearns.com, and we also have video shot from Fox News of just hundreds of illegal aliens crossing the Rio Grande River into the state of Texas. And, of course, they are identified by Fox as migrants, but they're not. They're illegal alien invaders. I know the reporters at Fox aren't allowed to use that kind of language, but that's exactly what they are. And the Biden administration telling us these people are coming from impoverished countries. But can I just say something? I have never seen such you know, people, impoverished people wearing the latest fashion styles, wearing tennis shoes that cost several hundred dollars, with hairstyles that are very modern and very chic. And as a matter of fact, just about every guy crossing the border is clean shaven. So I don't know what to read into that, but all I can tell you is apparently they dress very well in whatever impoverished country they come from. Well, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us from the great state of Alabama, our good friend Congressman Mo Brooks. Congressman, good to have you back with us.
My pleasure, Todd.
You know, before we get into to what's happening with free speech and the suppression of the conservative voice, when you see these videos of all of these illegals just coming over by the hundreds. And apparently this is a daily thing. I mean, Congressman, these are pretty well-dressed people. I mean, I don't get it.
Well, they're coming to America because the Biden administration welcomes them. It's as simple as that. It doesn't make any difference how impoverished they may be, what their circumstances may be. They perceive that they can break into the United States of America, that one of the first things that will happen when they come to the United States of America is they will be given all sorts of benefits, of course, paid for by American taxpayers. Those benefits might be transportation to a particular part of the country they want to live in. It might be health care. It might be $80-something million worth of hotel rooms that you're familiar with the Biden administration recently having contracted for. It might be some of the finest food that the United States has to offer, and the list just goes on and on and on. And that's the reason we're in the mess we're in.
In the meantime, we're dealing with another big, big crisis. I mean, this Colonial Pipeline story is going to really impact Americans in ways they could not imagine, especially at the gas pump.
It can very well do that depending on how long that Colonial Pipeline is shut down. If it is shut down for very many more days, then you're going to very quickly see shortages of gasoline at the pumps in some affected areas in the southern states, the southeast, and along the east coast. Now, fortunately, there are some alternatives for shipping gasoline to those areas of the country. And hopefully the loss of Colonial Pipeline can be lessened to a major degree. But nonetheless, it's irreplaceable. So we're going to have to either reduce our consumption or we're going to end up having to pay much higher prices, or we might not be able to get gasoline at all if, and I underscore the word if, the Colonial Pipeline stays shut down for a significant period of time. Hopefully they can get that up and running in another day or two or three, in which case the effect on the consuming public will be negligible at worst.
Well, and that's the word we're getting, is that they hope to have some of it up and running in the next couple of days. But you're right. I mean, this is going to pack a punch at the gas pump. We're getting reports, you could see $3 a gallon for gasoline in some of the southern states. So we'll have to see.
And that's
that.
Pretty high for us. Now,
yes.
If you're in New York or one of those socialist states like California, you may wish you had the prices we fear in the South. But that's one of the reasons why we're blessed to live here.
Yeah, amen. Amen, Congressman. Look, on Friday's show, we had some folks on from LifeSiteNews.com, a terrific pro-life website. They've officially been banished from Facebook. Over the weekend, the Facebook governing board was basically gloating about their decision not to let President Trump back on the platform. What can you guys do about this up on Capitol Hill?
Well, we cannot do anything unless the American people empower us with the number of congressmen and senators we need to actually achieve the desired goal. But assuming for the moment that we have the people who are placed in public office to achieve the desired goal, there are a number of things we can do. For example, we could declare them to be a public utility, in which case they can be regulated by the government, much as electrical supply companies are. Much like telephone companies have been over the years. So there are plenty of options along that level. We can also pass legislation that denies any social media platform immunity from defamation of character lawsuits if they're going to engage in control of the speech that is on their platform. And when you bar people from speaking, you are controlling that speech. You deny these companies that immunity that they now receive, and all of a sudden I think that you see them acting a whole lot different. Another thing we can do is start applying our antitrust laws. You've got monopolistic tendencies to some of these companies and the industries that they are in, and certainly to me, they're well positioned to be subject to our antitrust laws where their monopolistic practices are broken up. And then finally, if push comes to shove, as you've seen in so many different aspects of American life, they can be condemned. We condemned roads by way of example, property to build those roads. We have condemned all sorts of things the government has when it is believed to be in the public interest to do so. And it might be that these types of entities can also be condemned. Now, keep in mind that they have to be compensated under the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution for the value of the property that is taken from them if it is determined to be in such public interest that ownership of that property by the government is the only way that we can ensure that free speech will be allowed.
So you're basically eminent domain. Is that what you're saying?
Bingo.
Wow. I've never heard that argument before. That's fascinating.
Well, there are all sorts of options that we have, but ultimately it's dependent on what the American people want us to do. Some of those options, I'm a free enterprise guy, I would really try to avoid as much as possible. But when you're talking about breaking up monopolies, you know, free enterprise only works if you have competition. If you don't have competition, then free enterprise does not work, and the American people can be subjected to egregious prices or lack of the services that they otherwise would have availability to. That's why antitrust laws were passed back in the late 1800s to break up some of these monopolies with oil or with trains or with other aspects of American life that were deemed essential, but which were being undermined by the monopolistic tendencies of those who are in control of those entire industries.
You know, going back to something you said a few moments ago, I hear you that there's really not much you can do right now up on Capitol Hill. The reality was the Republicans could have done something back during the Trump administration, and they did not. They just took a pass. I mean, is there any guarantee that if the Republicans get control, they'll actually do it this time?
Well, let's be clear. Republicans had a majority, but they did not have control of the United States Congress. And that's because of the filibuster rule. You do not actually have control of legislation except for spending bills under reconciliation. You do not actually have control of the United States Congress unless you have 60% of the Senate, which Republicans have not had in more than roughly a century. Back around 1920, I think, was the last time we had a filibuster-proof majority. In contrast, the socialists, the Democrats, they've had a filibuster-proof Senate on a number of occasions over the last 100 years, and it's in those occasions in which they do their worst to our country.
Mm. Real quick, Congressman, there's speculation there is going to be a vote on Liz Cheney. What can you tell us, and do you think Elise Stefanik is the right replacement?
Well, I'll tell you what I believe, and we'll see if my prognostication is accurate. It appears from the media reports, from the communications I've had with our members of Congress, that it's a foregone conclusion that Liz Cheney does not have the votes to survive a challenge, probably a challenge that will occur sometime this week at our next Republican conference. That most likely would be Wednesday, but it might be a special conference. That's all up to Kevin McCarthy. The question then becomes, how do we fill it? My personal preference is that we don't rush to a judgment, but rather we have a delay, some period of time, 2 to 4 weeks, in which people can campaign for the position, much like occurred back in November of 2020 when the position was opened, so that people who might be interested in that position have the opportunity to communicate with others, and also the American people have the opportunity to participate in our decision-making process by telling their congressman whether they like or dislike any particular candidate based on that candidate's past record. Personally, I'd prefer that we have the most conservative member that we can get elected to that position, but we may not have that opportunity if everything is rushed through all at once in one meeting without the kind of competition for that position that I think would be in the best interest of the Republican conference.
Congressman, coming up in just a little while, we have Tony Perkins from Family Research Council, who's a very influential member of the religious community and the conservative community. And he says that Elise Stefanik is the wrong choice, you know, that we need someone who is a conservative in that position, like you just said.
Well, I know Elise Stefanik pretty well. She's a very nice lady. She's a very intelligent lady, and she's about as far left-wing as you can get in a Republican conference. I'm not confident that that is the kind of voting record you want as the chair of the Republican conference. I'd much more prefer someone who is for strong border security, by way of example, who's for strong conservative moral values, by way of example, who voted for the biggest agenda item of the Trump administration. That was the tax cuts in December of 2017 that resulted in the most economic growth that the United States of America has seen in a long time. Certainly the strongest economy the United States of America has seen in history, as evidenced by the extraordinarily low unemployment rate. But that's my preference. I'm from the conservative wing of the Republican Conference. I'm a founding member of the House Freedom Caucus, and I would much prefer a conservative. And the only chance we'll have of getting a conservative in as chairman of the GOP conference is if the leadership of the GOP conference gives potential candidates the time to mull over a bid instead of a rush-through process like we're apparently seeing as of this moment.
All right. Well, Congressman, we appreciate your insight there and your candor. It is greatly appreciated. And we'll pay attention and see what happens. Thanks for coming on the program today.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
All right, Congressman Mo Brooks. And the congressman there just broke some news. And we are getting reports from inside the Republican our Republican contacts in the Republican circles that not everybody is on board with this push to replace Liz Cheney with a moderate to liberal Republican like Elise Stefanik. And her record speaks for itself. I know she has the president's endorsement, but the reality is, on the issues, she is far to the left of Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney, she's got to go. That is not up for debate. But the issue is, do you replace Liz Cheney with a moderate who happens to support the president, or do you replace Liz Cheney with a conservative who supports the president? What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
The problem with Liz Cheney is that she was infected with, I don't know, stage four Trump derangement syndrome. It's a terrible malady, and there is no cure. So once Liz Cheney came down with the TDS, it was over. There was nothing anybody could do. It is what it is. And we wish her the very best we can do. The only thing we can do is try to make the rest of us feel comfortable, because it's, you know, the challenge with TDS is you get to, those of us who do not have TDS, we suffer from the side effects, which is this rage, this seething rage. And she has it. And, you know, we should put her on the prayer list, and we should send somebody by, maybe send her a bouquet of flowers. But it's over for Liz Cheney. Now, that being said, the question at this point is, who replaces Liz Cheney? Now, I'm not a political strategist here, but in my estimation, if the base of your party is conservative, would you not want a conservative leading the base? Elise Stefanik is not that person, and that's why I'm rather perplexed as to why Kevin McCarthy has all of a sudden embraced Stefanik as the next leader of the party. Very clearly, she sided with the Democrats in 2019 and voted for the Equality Act. It's a very radical, anti-Christian piece of legislation. She also supports amnesty at the border. And she also refused to defund Planned Parenthood. Now, when you look at the actual voting records, Liz Cheney, let's take FRC Action. That's the Family Research Council Action. That's their political pack. Cheney has a 100% rating with FRC Action. She voted over 90% of the time with President Trump, 92% of the time with President Trump. However, on the other side, you have Stefanik, who only voted 77.7% of the time with Trump. So could someone explain this to me? This makes absolutely no sense. Unless this is part of an effort to move the Republicans back to the center, or possibly even center left, when it comes to social issues. And I say that based on what's happening in California right now with the Jenner formerly known as Bruce, who, by the way, now has officially come out and has endorsed amnesty for illegals. So that guy is not a conservative. And now the jig is up. Caitlyn Jenner does not have my support. Seriously. So the question now is, what's going on with the Republican Party? Are they starting to go squishy on the social issues? And will that impact you? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. A lot of unrest right now in Israel. We've been following some breaking news coming out of Jerusalem, where Hamas has fired a number of rockets into Jerusalem. And there's been no word on injuries, but I can tell you this, that Hamas is a terrorist organization, and Israel has every right to defend itself. Every right. I want you to hear what I'm about to say when it comes to Israel, our greatest ally. There are people, evil people in this world, Hamas, Iran, most of Muslims, if not all, want to destroy the nation of Israel. They want Israel wiped off the face of the earth. That's what this is really all about. And every time you see a news report, you need to understand here that the true victim is Israel. Nobody else but Israel. They want to destroy the nation of Israel. Now, we understand the Israelis are going to respond to this violent attack. And all I can tell you is they better buckle up, because it's going to be a firestorm, an absolute firestorm. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Keith in North Carolina listening to us on the Talk Station. Keith, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call. By the way, I'll be coming through Memphis again next week when I'm going back into Arkansas.
Well, be sure to honk your horn, Keith, and we'll be sure to wave.
Well, I do honk my horn, and everybody else honks their horn at me. Apparently, I'm still too backwater. I don't drive crazy enough.
No, clearly you don't. Not for this part of the country.
Well, I'm going to throw this out there, but then I'm going to go back. The reason that I initially called is, you know, Bruce Jenner self-declared himself to be Caitlyn Jenner. Now, why cannot he self-define himself as a Republican? See, he's not a girl, and he's definitely not a Republican. But what's the difference? I guess nowadays you can declare yourself to be anything.
Oh, you know, Keith, now, this is a lot of there's a lot to dig into here, but you may be onto something. I mean, you're right. Caitlyn Jenner is a man who thinks he's a woman. And clearly, he is also a liberal who thinks he's a conservative. But that does not make him so.
That's why we vote. Now, you mentioned something a moment ago about what's going on in Israel. This is one of my biggest fears right now. Will the current administration continue to back Israel?
That is a...
That, to me, it scares the heck out of me.
It should. It should scare all of us, because we know what the Bible says about those who turn away from Israel, and we do not want to be one of those nations. But Keith, you're right. There are radicals in the Biden administration who would be more than willing to leave Israel to hang here. We'll see how this goes, but it is not a good thing. I do appreciate the number of Republicans coming out, sending out statements on Twitter just in the past 20 minutes or so, stating that we must stand with the nation of Israel.
That's a fact. Well, listen, you have a great day and keep up the good work.
Keith, God bless you, and safe travels out there on the roadway. But Keith brings up a valid point when it comes to Israel. We've got to maintain our strong alliances there. All right, let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Vern's been holding on for a while. All right, Vern, Grace says you're fired up.
Yes, I am, Todd. How are you doing, buddy? Can you hear me well?
You're coming in loud and crystal clear, my friend.
All right. Well, anyway, I moved here from up north. I moved down here to Arkansas 16 years ago, and I've listened to KARN radio ever since I've lived here. And always listened to Rush, and of course, like that letter that you had read on the radio a little while ago, they took Rush Limbaugh off the radio, and I was totally shocked and very disappointed. But then when you came on, it was like a breath of fresh air. And now they're going to take you off. And to be honest with you, Todd, Jesus was very angry when the money changers were messing around in the temple, and he got in there and he flipped those tables over. So he had righteous anger. And right now, I believe I've got righteous anger. I am very, very disappointed in KARN radio. I would encourage all the KARN listeners, and I'm sure there's maybe thousands, to call into KARN radio or write them a letter. Somebody made this decision, and I don't know who it is, but I'm a little skeptical as to whether they're conservative or not, because if anybody's conservative, they certainly wouldn't be taking you off the radio.
Well,
Vern,
let me jump in here and address that for you, because I do know I can share some information with you. It's not the local folks at all. You know, they are owned by a national conglomerate. And look,
I understand that, Bob.
Yeah. But they've got a guy, and they're forcing that guy onto every radio station they have. I guess that's their right. I don't know if it's the best business decision, to be honest with you.
Well, a couple more things, Todd, and I'm going to get off the air. But anyway, I would encourage the KARN listeners to either call in or write into the KARN and express their opinion on how they feel about your show. And by the way, I think it's one of the fastest growing radio stations in the United States. And I wish you all a success, you and Grace and Avery. And here's what I would like to see happen, if possible. The last day that KARN radio is going to have you on air, is there any way that you could possibly allow as many KARN listeners to express their appreciation and their feelings towards you and to say and to wish you well and goodbye? Now, one more thing. KARN radio, if they think they are the only radio station in Little Rock, they're sorely mistaken. And as far as I'm concerned, KARN radio has just shot themselves in the foot.
Now,
because when you're done, listen, Todd, wait a minute. When you're done off this station, this radio, KARN, I am also done. I'm done. I'm very angry. I'm upset. And it's about time us Christians, us conservatives, stand up and not let everything pass over. I'm sorry. I'm very upset. I love your show, and I wish you all the well in the world, Ben.
Vern, you're a good man, and I don't hang up right now. Here's the best thing that you can do, and this goes for any of you who might be listening to us on a Cumulus radio station. You need to contact the chief executive officer of Cumulus in New York City. And her name is Mary Berner, B-E-R-N-E-R. And we'll try to get her contact information and post it on our website. But you should be able to Google that info and just say, you know, say what you just said, Vern, in an email. We want folks to be nice and polite about it. But, you know, everybody has a decision to make here. And I will say this, KARN has been gracious enough. They're going to keep my daily commentaries, and they're going to keep the weekend edition of the show, which we appreciate. And, Vern, I'm going to promise you this. We're going to be doing a national book tour, and we're going to be coming to Little Rock because we promised all of our listeners we were going to do that. And we're going to be there later this summer, and we would love to be able to meet you and all of our great listeners in Little Rock, Arkansas. But your words mean a lot to me, Vern, and I know that Grace and Avery feel the same way. You're very kind, And Vern, I do have one question. How long have you been in Little Rock? How long have you been down south in Arkansas?
16 years ago, I moved from Wisconsin.
So
I'm what they call a cheesehead.
Oh, I know some cheeseheads now. But what I'm impressed with is you still have your accent. So you haven't picked up the y'all just yet. You haven't dropped your G's.
No. In fact, all the Arkansans down here, they can tell I'm from up north.
Just a smidge, Vern.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Look, when we come to Little Rock, you come to our book signing. I want to be able to shake your hand personally.
By the way, is there any way that there's a, like I said, there's more than one radio station in Little Rock. Is there any way possible that you could check things out, that you could get back on radio?
Where,
I know we can download you.
We're on it.
We can't. It's not like, huh?
We're on it, Vern, and I hate to do this, but we got to skedaddle for a break. But we are on that, and we'll keep you updated. Folks, we do need to take a break here, and we have some passionate listeners, and we love you guys because of that. We've only been doing this for about 4.5 years, but something's clicking. Something's clicking. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right. All you people in Little Rock. As a matter of fact, all you people wherever, we need to help our friends in Little Rock out here. All right. So here's what we need you to do. We need you to email Mary Berner. She's the CEO of Cumulus. And here's the email address. Ask Mary, that's A-S-K Mary, ask Mary at cumulus.com. Ask Mary at cumulus.com. We're going to post a link to the email address on our live show blog, and you can send her an email directly saying, we love Starnes, and we don't want him to go anywhere. All right, so let's everybody, the whole listening audience, let's help out our friends at KARN in Little Rock, Arkansas. All right, real quick, I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. We have a jaw-dropping story to share with you from across the big pond. A British boarding school secretly reported its Christian chaplain to the government's anti-terrorism watchdog list. Why did they do that? Because of a sermon he delivered about LGBT policies. Well, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line is that former chaplain, the Reverend Dr. Bernard Randall. Pastor, what an honor to have you with us today. Thank you for coming on the show.
Well, Todd, thank you. The honor is all mine. I'm just amazed to be talking to someone, as you say, across the pond on, well, an extraordinary story. But when I gave that sermon, I never thought anything like this could happen.
Dr. Randall, I want you to tell our listeners quickly what happened to you. You were giving a message to the children there, what, 11 to 17 years old, and what did you tell them?
That's right. Well, I told them because we had introduced in the school, well, I hadn't, the school had introduced this sort of very, very pro-LGBT, sort of ideological identity politics kind of approach. I told them, if you accept that, that's absolutely fine. But actually, for Christians and for people of many other faiths, there are some real problems with that. So if you want to believe that marriage should only be between a man and a woman, if you want to believe that biological sex is real, those are things you can believe. But I really emphasize very strongly, respect the people you disagree with. Either way, you need to respect people. That's what loving your neighbor means. It means you don't have to agree, but you should respect those people. So I gave that as a sermon in our school chapel services, because in the UK we don't have separation of church and state in the same way, so it's okay to have school chapels. And the management dragged me into a meeting the following Monday and interrogated me about this. Why had I done this? And then I was suspended, and then I was sacked for gross misconduct.
Now, Dr. Randall, I understand that, you know, what you just told me, I mean, it seems like a very innocuous thing. You were just letting students know that if they did not agree with the LGBT agenda, that was okay. They were not a bad person.
That's absolutely right. And I was very, very careful to be as balanced as I possibly could be. I don't believe anybody should be discriminated against for anything, whatever their sexuality or whatever. No discrimination should be there. And I thought I was, you know, making that case for everybody, regardless. And what happened was I was discriminated against for my religious beliefs. And for the chaplain to be discriminated against for religion in a Christian school, well, as you say, it's an extraordinary story.
Dr. Randall, at some point you found out that you had been reported to some terrorist watch list. What happened there? How did you find out?
Well, when I was suspended, there was going to be a disciplinary hearing, and in advance of that hearing, I was sent some papers to do with the investigation that the school officers had done, and it just was in a sort of list of bullet points. Oh, and a report to prevent, which is the name of the government sort of anti-extremism, anti-violent terrorism watchdog that's supposed to sort of alert people before anything happens so they can be drawn back from terrorism. And so I had been reported to them as a potential extremist, someone who might radicalize pupils into violent terrorism or something. I just don't know why that happened based on what I said, but that was someone in the school community thought that that was what needed to happen.
What is your message to Christians around the country? Because this school that you were at is Protestant and evangelical. It's affiliated with the Church of England. I mean, this is stunning.
It is, and I think too many Christians, I think, are sleepwalking into a world where the gender identity and the identity politics, that kind of approach is just taken for granted because it looks as if it's just being nice, it's just being kind to people, and no one objects to being kind to people. Of course, no one does. But actually, there's a political agenda that sort of sits behind it, and too many people just don't realise actually how quite radical some of those political views are, and they're anti-Christian.
It's not about acceptance anymore. This is about destruction of anyone that disagrees with them.
That seems to be what was happening. Yeah, that's certainly how it felt. And, you know, I can't peer into the minds and the consciences of the people who thought it was appropriate to report me as a terrorist. I don't want to judge them. Maybe they just really didn't understand the politics behind the program that had come into the school. But yeah, absolutely. That agenda says you can't tolerate anything other than us, what we want to say.
Well, Dr. Randall, we've got about 30 seconds here. I know that you filed a lawsuit. What are you asking for? What do you want to happen?
Well, I you know, in a perfect world, I would be reinstated, and the school would adopt better Christian values. Whether that will happen, I don't know, but you know, that's what should be the case. And I just want to raise awareness, really, that this is what's going on in our country. And I know in America, too, there are these cultural battles going on. We want to make sure that Christianity has its voice.
Yes. Well said. Well, Dr. Randall, we wish you the very best of luck, and we want you to keep us updated on your court case as it proceeds, and you're right. This is a moment in history when all of us, Christians all over the world, have to take a stand for what is right and to stand on the principles and the teachings of the Bible. So, again, thank you, Dr. Bernard Randall. Folks, we've got his story on our website, toddstearns.com. I would encourage you to read this story. This man, a Christian chaplain at a Christian school, he was fired because he told kids they could feel free to agree or disagree with the LGBT agenda. And then, after firing the man, they reported him to a terrorist watch list. Unbelievable. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. Tony Perkins coming up. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this
American Ride. Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you are doing well, wherever you might be across the fruited plain. I'm enjoying a lovely hot cup of community coffee. You know what I love about community, and they do not pay me. Grace Baker, you can confirm, they do not pay me to say what I'm about to say.
No, you just love it this much.
I love community coffee.
You consume like 5 cups a day.
I wouldn't have shared that because I'm going to get the emails down. Todd, you should be watching your health.
But you don't put sugar in it or anything.
No, I take my coffee black.
Because it's that good.
Yes, and I don't want to be accused of, you know, privilege or anything. So, I'm just saying. Don't shake your head at me like that, Grace. But no, seriously, if you're looking for a great cup of coffee, and there's some fine, I don't want to say I'm a coffee snob, but I'm a coffee snob. But I don't like the Starbucks only because it costs, what, $5, and it tastes burnt, and they misspell your name, and then you have to go through some sort of a social justice lecture, and then you got to fight with the homeless people to be able to sit down at a table. So all that to say, you should check out Community Coffee. It is a family-owned coffee company based in Louisiana, and they use chicory, and it's a delicious flavor, and that's the official coffee of the Todd Starnes radio program. It would be nicer if they paid for that honor, but you know what? We're generous people here at the program. Interesting story from our good friends over at Young America's Foundation. You know, a couple of months back, they launched this bias hotline. It's an anonymous tip. So if you see campus bias happening at your school, you can phone in or you can send an email and they're going to investigate. And one of the stories just simply blew me away. A first grade class in Washington State was read a transgender storybook. And the reason why moms and dads got very upset, but moms and dads complained to the school board, and the school board did nothing, and that's because the president of the school board owns a sex toy shop. Well, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line to help us sort through this Sodom and Gomorrah story is Kara Zupkus from Young America's Foundation. Hey, Kara, how's it going today?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me.
By the way, do you like coffee, Kara?
I do love coffee. I don't like Starbucks either.
Good. You see, I knew she was good people, Grace. Kara, you got to try Community Coffee. It's amazing. You'll love it.
I'll have to try it. Usually right. I'm a Dunkin' girl, but...
All right. There's nothing wrong with Dunkin'. That's okay. We serve the Dunkin' here on occasion, but you got to check... You know what? Grace, we're going to send Kara. We're going to send her a box of Community Coffee. Do you do the Keurig, Kara?
Yes, we have them here, yeah.
Grace, we're going to send Kara some Community Coffee.
So
we'll get
you.
In the mail. All right. You know, we never did that with Spencer Brown. I just want you to know that, Kara. So your great predecessor, a good man. Let's talk about this story here. This is insane. You're telling me that first grade kids were indoctrinated through transgenderism?
Yep, that's exactly what happened. A first grade teacher forced her kids to read a book pushing this transgender ideology. The book was called I Am Jazz, which details a 2-year-old biological male who wants to begin his transition to being a female with the support of his doctors and his parents. So obviously, I mean, parents were pretty upset by this, and they emailed the teacher being like, did you read this book to my children today? And the teacher defended her actions as it being under the guise of equity, diversity, and inclusion, that buzzword that we always hear so often from these public schools. And the parent took it further, you know, pushing it up the chain, the superintendent, the school board, and then a little investigation by YAF turns out that the school board president owns an all-ages sex toy shop.
Now, this is what caused me pause. The name of the shop is the Wink Wink Boutique, winkwinkboutique.com. Do not go there, people. And I'm curious, what exactly does that mean, all ages?
Yeah, that's a great question. She says that she only sells to children ages 16 and older, but anyone of any age can be in the store, whether they're accompanied by an adult or not. She describes the store as being very inclusive and, quote, not creepy, although I think appealing to children is very creepy. I don't know.
Yeah, that train left the station. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's all about celebrating sexual expression and sexual exploration, and really wants to kind of change the narrative around sex by promoting it to all age children.
You know, I think here the bigger story is this indoctrination that's happening in first grade. Are you guys starting to see more of these kinds of stories happening in grade schools?
Exactly. That's exactly what we're seeing. An increase in our tips through the Campus Bias Tip Line has been elementary schools, which is very concerning. I mean, parents are reaching out to us desperate. They don't know where else to turn. And they really kind of know the only route is through public shaming of these schools to shame them into changing their actions. I mean, the fact that CRT, critical race theory, transgenderism, all of these ideas are being pushed on children as young as 5, 6, 7 years old, those kids don't really have the moral compass to know what is right, what is wrong, when to speak up and tell their parents what they're learning about, kind of concerned about what they're learning about. So thank God that this child spoke up to his parent, because otherwise they probably never would have known.
No, until, you know, the kid decides one day he wants to wear a dress to school and do his nails. I mean, it's, look, this is so evil, what we are seeing right here. It's one thing to do this on the high school level where the kids are coming to terms with whatever they want to do in life, who they want to be. But when you're doing this to a child that's, what, 5, 6 years old, and they don't know any of this stuff, that is the definition textbook case of indoctrination.
Exactly. It's honestly child abuse, and parents need to get involved here because it's not the school's role to be pushing this indoctrination on the students. You know, this is something that is better handled at home. The students that young should not be talking about such mature topics. There's no way that they can process that. And if they are starting to be indoctrinated as young as 5, 6, that's what they're going to grow up thinking is normal and thinking that it's okay. And once they get older, you know, that's going to be really the only viewpoint that they've heard about topics like transgenderism. And then they're going to see anything else as being wrong. And that's really what these schools are aiming to do.
This Campus Bias Hotline you guys started, it's fairly new. How's it going?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. We've started it about maybe a little over a year ago now. And we've gotten hundreds and hundreds of tips. We've definitely seen an increase during COVID with the lockdowns because students and parents have had more documentation of the bias, given that most things have been online. So we've had PowerPoint presentations, we've had lectures. But again, we are definitely seeing that trend from not only colleges, not only high schools, but middle school and elementary school. And we accept tips from anyone. You know, you can be a parent, a concerned citizen, an actual student in the class. You really just want to help get these stories out here, because at the end of the day, public pressure is really going to be the only way we can get these schools to change their actions.
Well, well said. Well, Kara, we're going to leave it there. And folks, again, if you'd like to access the Campus Bias Hotline, you can do that at yaf.org. And we have the story up on our website as well. All right, Kara, you know what? I'm going to send you the pecan praline flavor. You're going to love it.
I'm excited.
It's good stuff. All right, Kara. Look, great work you guys are doing, and we'll get you back on soon.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
All right, Kara Zupkus. Grace, we got to get Kara's email or mailing address, I guess. YAF headquarters.
I have a feeling we can swing that.
All right. Pecan praline. Praline pecan. That reminds me. Remember we had the huge controversy. Is it praline or praline? Remember that? Is it pecan or pecan?
I say pecan.
Or pecan.
Oh, gosh. I think I say pecan, praline.
You see, it depends. It's a pecan or pecan or pecan.
Pecan.
You know people are going to call up and tell us that we're saying it wrong. It's like Nevada.
I think it's an accent
thing. No, I said Nevada one time when I was working at a radio station in California.
Yeah.
And I call, you know what?
I say Nevada.
No,
as well.
No.
I know you're not supposed
Nevada.
To.
It's Nevada. Nevada.
I know now. I'm just saying in the past.
Mm-hmm. And what do you call New York?
New York?
No, Commieland.
Oh,
it's
my
Commieland.
Gosh.
All right. But I
clearly still have much to learn.
Well, yes, we do. The Southern dialect, it changes. It depends on where you are. It could be, you know, for example, if you're going fishing, mm-hmm. you could be fishing for crappie or crappy.
Oh,
but you never want to. But you never want to eat a crappy crappie. That's just horrible.
That sounds terrible.
No, it's disgusting. Anyway, 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. Couple of stories here. The NRA's in hot water. Apparently, they put out a Mother's Day tweet of a little girl holding a rifle, and it's caused all sorts of backlash. No, this is brilliant. So all the libs got triggered by this little girl packing heat. And they're all very upset, and they're saying, here's what one person said. The six victims of the mass shooting in Colorado Springs would beg to differ, but they're dead. What kind of, okay, fine, they're dead, but did the little girl with the gun shoot them? No. What kind of ghouls post something like this on Mother's Day? All right, stand down there, David Hogg. I took NRA classes as a kid and even won a BB gun competition. I still have the trophy. How this group has evolved over the past few decades is beyond disturbing. Literal psychopaths now, and no doubt call yourselves Christians. Yeah, since Jesus was big into weapons of death, tweeted one. What? It's a freaking Mother's Day post. What are you people? Are you people nuts? Unbelievable. Somebody said, Todd, they were bashing me once. I love toying with these people. It's like the cat and the mouse, you know, you got to just toy with them. And Grace, somebody sent me a message. Todd, would Jesus own an AR-15? And I'm like, yeah, probably.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you want me to say?
What do you say? Weapons of mass destruction?
Yeah, weapons of mass destruction. These people.
Okay.
All right.
Too easy.
Uh-huh. All right. Coming up, Disney has a new handbook. It's a white privilege checklist, and we're going to go through the checklist. I can tell you I already failed on, like, the first thing. So I'm not going to be able to get a part-time gig at Disney. 844-747-8868. Tony Perkins, Family Research Council, coming up as well. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
You guys hear about the Kentucky Derby winner? Apparently failed the post-race drug test. Now, the jockey says it's not true, and I don't know. We'll see. But I don't know. Maybe they're putting a little bit of Parmesan cheese on the oats. I don't know. Was Hunter Biden at the Kentucky Derby this year? Do we know? All right. Grace, get on that, please. Just run down a lead. Michelle Obama, by the way, back in the news. Mobama, Mother Obama. You know, she doesn't like America, and she's made this known multiple times across her illustrious career. And now Michelle Obama, Mother Obama, the mother of our nation, has announced that she is an oppressed black woman. I want you to know I'm not making this up. Take a listen.
The goal is to let leaders lead, but in certain times people, you know, look to us often, well, what do you think? How do you feel? And we know that while we're all breathing a sigh of relief over the verdict, there's still work to be done. And so we can't sort of say, great, that happened, let's move on. I know that people in the black community don't feel that way because many of us still live in fear as we go to the grocery store or worry about walking our dogs or allowing our children to get a license. I mean, just imagine.
Aren't your girls right driving?
Now, they're driving. Yeah. But every time they get in a car by themselves, I worry about what assumption is being made by somebody who doesn't know everything about them. The fact that they are good students and polite girls, but maybe they're playing their music a little loud. Maybe somebody mm-hmm. sees the back of their head mm-hmm. and makes an assumption. I, like so many parents of black kids, the innocent act of getting a license mm-hmm. puts fear in our hearts. So I think we have to talk about it more, and we have to ask our fellow citizens to listen a bit more mm-hmm. and to believe us.
Yes.
And to know we don't want to be out there marching. I mean, all those Black Lives Matter kids, they'd rather not have to worry about this. They're taken to the streets because they have to. They're trying to have people understand that we're real folks. And the fear that many have of so many of us is irrational. And it's based on a history that is just, it's sad and it's dark. And it's time for us to move beyond that.
All right. Well, there's a lot to unpack here in Mother Obama's statement to the nation on CBS News. A couple of things. First of all, do we know, Grace, and maybe we could Google Maps this. We know that Black Lives Matter headquarters is in some posh mansion in Beverly Hills.
Yes, we do know that.
Yeah, the canyon. Oh, what was the name of the canyon? It's a very exclusive area of Beverly Hills. Do we know if the Obamas are neighbors to the Black Lives Matter folks?
That's a good question.
The generals, I guess, in the BLM army?
I don't know this.
I'm trying, because I know they have multiple. The Obamas, I know they're oppressed. They only have, I think, what, two mansions? Is that
only
right?
Only two?
I think only two.
Man, that's rough.
But I found it interesting. It's you've got to pay attention to her language. And she says, many of us still live in fear. So Mother Obama, who is guarded by Secret Service agents, so she is actually being protected by armed law enforcement, is terrified. She lives in fear of her Secret Service detail. Is that what she's telling us?
Apparently.
And then this other component here, where she talks about the Black Lives Matter thugs and thuggets, and for the underage thugs, we call them thuglings. And she said that the children are taking it to the streets because they have to. So when you have little thuglings running through Walmart and the grocery store and the Walgreens, and they're literally coming in like a swarm of locusts and stealing everything in sight, you need to understand that Mother Obama says that's okay. Mother Obama just gave the wink and the nod, much like Maxine Waters did.
Well, I can confirm at least how much the Obamas' mansion cost over in Massachusetts, $8.1 million. Woo!
But I got to tell you, Grace, they could not afford a $20 million mansion. So that's a sign of oppression.
That's true.
And racism.
Mm-hmm.
It's racism. You know, the problem is people are so ignorant in America. And I hate to say this, but Michelle Obama is ignorant because she doesn't understand the difference between prejudice or racism or bigotry. And the fact of the matter is she's spewing a lot of bigotry and prejudice.
Yeah.
In her remarks. I mean, it's pretty disgusting what she's doing here. She's dividing the country. That's what she's doing here. And this idea that she's giving the wink and the nod, she says people are afraid to go into a grocery store. You know what? Going to a restaurant. Why don't you talk to Sarah Sanders about that? Maxine Waters told her thugs and thuglings to get out there and absolutely harass Trump supporters wherever they might be. I don't hear Michelle Obama complaining about that. All right, 844-747-8868. What a despicable person. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. This item just in from Israel, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is heading to IDF headquarters in Tel Aviv, and Netanyahu says, we will respond forcefully. The current confrontation may continue for some time. Hamas is, they're waging war on the Israelis, and the Israelis have a right to defend themselves. Let me just ask you a question here. If those godless heathens north of the border in Canada were firing missiles into Montana and the Dakotas, would we be expected to stand down? No, of course not. We would defend our nation, and we would blow the godless heathen Canadians who like to pull pastors out of their church houses and throw them into jail. We would send them to oblivion. That's what we would do. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Jebediah in Conway, Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. All right, Jebediah, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, I was just going to mention, I know, while they were changing the law in Georgia about the voter ID, Democrats were saying how it was racist because black people couldn't find the DMV or they didn't know how to access the paperwork or do whatever. So how are they able to get driver's licenses if they're not? Why are they driving around?
Well, that's a terrific question. But I mean, honestly, I just feel as though the Democrats' explanation of these voter ID laws, their opposition, is blatantly racist. The idea that a black person can't find a DMV or the black person doesn't have the wherewithal to get a state-issued ID is ludicrous, and it is offensive, Jebediah.
Well, Todd, also, I know if you're driving down the road in a car and if you're not doing anything wrong and you're not, you know, breaking the law, you know, going too fast or got a tail light out or anything like that, most of the time you ain't got to worry about cops pulling you over. And if you do, if you're polite to them, they're usually pretty polite to you back.
It's a fair thing you're saying, and I'm with you. And the facts, the data, the statistics back up what you just said. 99.9% of all interactions between the police and Americans, black, white, Hispanic, doesn't matter, they typically end peacefully. And then when you break it down, the number is just infinitesimal. When you look at the numbers where police, you know, have to pull out their service revolver and somebody loses their life, that's a very teeny tiny amount. But it does not fit the narrative coming from the left. Jebediah, thank you for the call, and thank you for listening to us. So I got to get to this story about Disney, Grace. The headline from TheBlaze.com, Paul Sackup is the author. Disney asks employees to complete white privilege checklist, and they insist America was founded on systemic racism. This is according to leaked documents that were uncovered by Christopher Rufo. So Disney making all of its employees go through some sort of a white privilege training. And one of the things that the Disney community wants to convey is that we are to avoid conflating the black experience with other communities of color. While other people of color are subject to racism, there is a unique history that has led to anti-black racism and the ways in which that shows up. So in other words, Grace, black racism is worse than everybody else's racism.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm. It's true. By the way, they have these little modules that the employees have to go through. You know what the one is for the black employees?
What?
Wakanda.
Oh.
The Latino, you know, Wakanda forever.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, I know the Panther reference.
All right. The Latino group is named Hola. Hola. Isn't that like howdy or something? And
hello.
Hello. The Asian group is named Compass. Or what? It could be Compass. I don't know. It's Comp. It's C-O-M-P-A-S-S. Compass. I don't know what that means. Go ahead and ask me what is the name of the white group?
Oh, what is the name?
There is none. There is no group for white people.
What?
Oh, no. There is. No, they're cracking down on white people at Disney.
Dang. You're just like on the island of misfit toys.
So white Disney employees are now asked to complete a white privilege checklist. So, Grace, you and I would have to go through this because we're of the Caucasian persuasion.
Oh, my.
So you have to select your privileges, such as I am white. That means you're privileged. I am heterosexual.
Okay.
I am a man. And that's
ooh,
on the list.
Okay, so, I'm not on that one.
No, but you're a woman. So you're a woman. So
okay.
You're a biological woman. And that's a big no-no nowadays. I still identify as the gender I was born in. That means you're sane. I have never been raped. Can you imagine you're applying for the job? You just want to sell, I don't know, snow cones at Disney or whatever they
say. Oh, yeah. And you're little Mickey Mouse checklist popsicles, you know.
So you have to out yourself as a sexual assault survivor?
I know. That's like really freaking personal.
I don't rely on public transportation.
What?
I'm just telling you.
Well, if you live in New York.
Oh, here we go. I have never been called a terrorist. Well, the chaplain over across the big pond we were talking to.
Oh, man.
He got called a terrorist. Disney says employees must pivot from norm of white dominant culture to something different.
To something different.
Something different.
What's that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Such as building a bigger pie. and collectivism.
What? Pie, like, what kind of pie are we talking? Like, blueberry? Cherry?
I don't think it's chocolate pie. That's
Maybe.
I don't know.
Okay.
Rhubarb? As part of its anti-racism... I never did like rhubarb pie.
I've never even heard of
it. It's an acquired taste. As part of its anti-racism campaign, the Mickey Mouse Corporation created racially segregated affinity groups for minority employees with the goal of achieving culturally authentic insights. The Latino group named Hola, the Asian group named Compass, and the... I'm sorry, that's Compass. Whoops, I just got a text message.
Family show, Todd. Family show.
My apologies. We were using the King James version of the word.
What?
Well, yes, because that's in the Bible. Remember the Old Testament, the speaking ass. So that's
Yes.
It's in the Old Testament.
This is true.
Google it. And the black group is named Wakanda. Wakanda forever. The training guides do not seem to mention Disney's close ties with the Chinese Communist Party.
Oh, how convenient.
You know, there's only so much you can fit into a training manual.
Oh, yeah. Just didn't make the cut.
You know what it is about the rape question? That's for sleeping. Was it Sleeping Beauty? Is she the chick that got kissed?
No. Remember? She did, as Snow White. But Snow White was the one that's in hot
and
water
with
right now.
The midgets, yes. Oh, pardon me, little people. Dwarfs.
Dwarfs.
Thank you. I was getting around to it.
We got
to,
like...
I'm in such trouble right now with media matters. But here's what gets me, is that they no longer want... Where is this all line? Oh, yes. So it's this is not about equality anymore.
No.
They want equity is what
that's the new word.
Disney says America has a long history of systemic racism and transphobia. They're telling employees that to recognize your colleagues are also processing the ways in which the pandemic is disproportionately affecting the black community.
This is a mouthful.
It's a mouthful of something. I'll say that much.
Family show.
But the Walt Disney Company introduced a diversity and inclusion program called Reimagine Tomorrow. It's an anti-racism discussion, and this is not about equality. It's about equity.
Why do I feel like Tomorrowland is going to turn into something else one day in Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, an indoctrination camp.
Part of
an indoctrination camp.
I know you're not a big fan of Disney World, Todd, but...
It is not the happiest place on Earth. It sounds like it's becoming the most racist place on Earth.
Dang.
I mean, honestly. Oh, here we go. Disney tells employees they should reject equality or equal treatment and instead strive for equity or the equality of outcome.
Oh, boy.
So this is socialism, ladies and gentlemen. Do you understand when you go to Disney World and you want to have your picture made with Peter Pan and Donald Duck and whoever, that Mickey Mouse. Is Goofy down there too? Yeah, Goofy.
Yeah, Goofy.
Yeah, this is not about cartoons. This is about shoving an agenda down your kids' throats. But I do have a thought here. And again, I don't want to call Disney out on this, but it seems to me this just reeks of hypocrisy. And here's the reason why. Not everybody can afford to go to Disney World.
No.
So why is Disney World charging admission? Why are they oppressing people?
This is a good point.
People of color who could not afford and cannot afford a ticket to get into their parks in the first place. So it seems to me the only thing to do, the only way to right this horrible racist wrong is to allow people of color free entry into the Disney parks, and then make all of the, I don't know, white patrons, and especially liberal white patrons, pick up the tab.
Yeah.
Or Grace, maybe the white patrons may just have to go ahead and fork over their Disney passes and give them away, and they never get to set foot in the park, because the idea of allowing a white person to step into the park would be a racist move.
And they have to just, like you said, give their ticket to somebody else and let them enjoy it instead.
Or just open the gates and let everyone in.
Open borders, kids.
Open borders. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. I'm glad we solved that for Disney. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. By the way, now is a great time to download our brand new app. You can do that by going to our live show blog, and we'll post a link. Make it real simple for you so you'll be able to listen to us wherever you might be across the fruited plain. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program, president of the Family Research Council, host of the great radio show Washington Watch, Tony Perkins. Tony, how's it going?
It's going quite well, Todd. Good to be with you.
Tony, I was really excited to read a column you wrote because I have had some very, very grave concerns about the direction of the House Republican Conference, especially with this idea that Elise Stefanik could be the next leader to replace Liz Cheney. And it turns out I'm not the only person who has concerns.
No, you're not. In fact, there are many within the ranks of the Republicans in Congress that are concerned as well. Mostly, almost all the conservatives are concerned. Here's the thing. They're afraid to take, I think, the action that needs to be taken and buck the leadership. And so I've been talking with different ones that, look, this is defining of where the party is going to go. And if you really want conservatives to get behind you and help you retake the majority, you're going to have to not only talk a conservative game, you're going to have to act a conservative game. And someone who, you know, voted with Trump less than three quarters of the time is not one I think that should be in a leadership role. In fact, she has one of the Stefanik has one of the lowest ratings in the House. In fact, with FRC Action, our sister organization, she's about 70%, where oppose that to Cheney, who I have issues with because of what she's done since the election, but she was 92%. And this is the person that really sets the tone and the messaging for congressional Republicans. I don't think Stefanik is the answer.
No, and clearly I don't believe Liz Cheney is the answer. There's a lot going on here and a lot to work through. First of all, I think a lot of people are acting on the president, former President Trump's endorsement. But I'm wondering who told him that she was the right person.
Yeah, I don't know that he was completely filled in based on conversations. I've not talked.
Yeah, to I don't either. I'm with you,
former president. But I've had many conversations, and I don't think he was actually plugged in on her weak record. I think it was made known to him, and he knew that she had supported him during the first impeachment trial and did a great job. She didn't turn like Cheney did in the second time around. So I think that was probably the thing that appealed to him. I don't think he went any deeper to look at her record, where other members of Congress who are now going to have to vote on this are looking at her record, and they're concerned, and they should be.
Tony, we had Congressman Mo Brooks on earlier in the show. He categorized Stefanik as a far-left Republican. And what he wants to see happen, he doesn't want an immediate vote. He wants to put the brakes on this. Let's see who is out there, and just don't jump right from Cheney to Stefanik. Would you agree with that as well, or do you have somebody in mind?
Well, I think that may actually be the outcome. I think members are wanting to put the brakes on this. Although I would say yes, there are some good alternatives. I think Mike Johnson would be a good. He's former chairman of the Republican Study Committee. He would be good. You know, if Jim Jordan would step forward, I think he would be good. So there are clearly some alternatives. And here's what's happened that I've been watching over my 20 years almost here, is that with each successive change of leadership, the Republicans have become more conservative, which is a good thing because the Democrats have become more liberal. This would be a step back from that trajectory toward more conservatism by putting Stefanik in a position of leadership. So I think this would be a step back for the Republicans, who really need an engaged, energized Republican conservative base going into the 2022 election.
And we've got about a minute here, Tony. I'm a little concerned with Kevin McCarthy. I mean, he's come out and endorsed Stefanik. He wasn't able to get Liz Cheney under control at all. And I just, you know, again, if he's going to be the leader of the Republicans, he needs to lead.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a message that he's going to pick up from the other Republicans. Again, I think there's a lot of people thinking, all right, is the president for her, former president for her, is McCarthy for who's for who? I think a lot of this was based upon a reaction to Liz Cheney, who I think we would all agree is not has not had good messaging. You know, she's questioning the people who questioned the outcome of the election, which clearly there were irregularities in the election. That's why 47 states are reforming their election laws, or at least attempting to. So I think it's a foregone conclusion. Liz Cheney does not need to be in the ranks of leadership. The question now is, which way do Republicans go? Stefanik is not the direction.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And Tony, we're going to post a link to your great column that went out late last week on our live show blog. And what time can people tune in to Washington Watch?
5 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. That's where I'll be, following up from Todd Starnes.
All right, good stuff. All right, Tony, well, take care of yourself, and I look forward to catching you back on the radio.
All right, good to be with you, Todd. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Tony Perkins, president of Family Research Council, and, of course, this is a story that we are going to continue to follow, and I think this is the right call. Let's tamp the brakes, and let's see who's out there. You know, he mentioned Mike Johnson, mentioned Jim Jordan, Ron Estes, who's a great conservative congressman out in Kansas. Another solid choice as well. All right, folks, so that music means we got to scoot out of here. Been a lot of fun. Hey, get out there. Have a great day. Be good, America.